33. Burdens. But it is not impossible to blend their surges to ours in the end. It has been promised, and it can come. Or do we understand the sum? We question not if they can have us then, but if we dare to have them again. From the Listener Song of Spren, 10th stanza. Kaladin fell with the rain. He clung to the assassin's bone-white clothing with his one working hand. The assassin's dropped shard blade exploded into mist beside them, and together they plummeted toward the ground 100 feet below. The tempest within Kaladin was almost still. Too little stormlight. The assassin suddenly started glowing more powerfully. He has spheres. Kaladin breathed in sharply, and light streamed from spheres and pouches at the assassin's waist. As the light streamed into Kaladin, the assassin kicked at him. One handhold was not enough, and Kaladin was thrown free. Then he hit. He hit hard. No preparation, no getting his feet beneath him. He smacked against cold, wet stone, and his vision flashed like lightning. It cleared a moment later, and he found himself lying on the rocks at the base of the rise that led to the king's palace, a gentle rain sprinkling him. He looked up at the distant light of the hole in the wall above. He'd survived. One question answered, he thought, struggling to his knees on the wet rock. The stormlight was already working on his skin, which was shredded along his right side. He'd broken something in his shoulder. He could feel its healing as a burning pain that slowly retreated. But his right forearm and hand, faintly lit by the stormlight rising from the rest of him, were still a dull gray. Like a dead candle in a row, this part of him did not glow. He couldn't feel it. He couldn't even move the fingers. They drooped, limp, as he cradled the hand. Nearby, the assassin in white stood up straight in the rain. He'd somehow gotten his feet beneath him and landed in control, with poise. This man had a level of experience with his powers that made Kaladin look like a new recruit. The assassin turned on Kaladin, then stopped short. He spoke softly in a language Kaladin didn't understand, the words breathy and sibilant, bearing lots of sha sounds. Got to move, Kaladin thought, before he summons that blade again. Unfortunately, he failed to shove down the horror at having lost the hand. No more spear fighting, no more surgery. Both men he had learned to be were now lost to him. Except he could almost feel. Did I lash you? The assassin asked in accented Alethi. His eyes had darkened, losing their sapphire blue quality. To the ground? But why did you not die falling? No, I must have lashed you upward. Impossible. He stepped back. A moment of surprise. A moment to live. Perhaps. Kaladin felt the light working, the tempest within straining and pulsing. He gritted his teeth and heaved somehow. The color returned to his hand, and feeling, cold pain, suddenly flooded his arm, hand, fingers. Light began to stream from his hand. No, the assassin said. No! Whatever Kaladin had done to his hand had consumed much of his light, and his overall glow faded, leaving him barely alight. Still on his knees, gritting his teeth, Kaladin grabbed the knife from his belt but found his grip weak. He almost fumbled the weapon as he got it free. He swapped the knife to his offhand. It would have to do. He threw himself to his feet and charged the assassin. Have to hit him quickly to have a chance. The assassin jumped backward, soaring a good 10 feet, his white clothing rippling in the night air. He landed with a lithe grace, shard blade appearing in his hand. What are you? He demanded. Same thing you are, Kaladin said. He felt a wave of nausea, but forced himself to appear firm. Windrunner. You can't be. Kaladin held up the knife, the few wisps of remaining light steaming from his skin. Rain sprinkled him. The assassin scrambled backward, eyes as wide as if Kaladin had turned into a chasm fiend.
They told me I was a liar, the assassin screamed. They told me I was wrong. Zeth, Sansan Velano, truthless. They named me truthless.
Kaladin stepped forward as threateningly as he could manage, hoping his stormlight would last long enough to be imposing. He breathed out, letting it puff before him, faintly luminescent in the darkness. The assassin scrambled back through a puddle.
Are they back? He demanded. Are they all back?
Yes, Kaladin said. It seemed like the right answer. The answer that would keep him alive, at least. The assassin stared at him a moment longer, then turned and fled. Kaladin watched the glowing form run, then lurch into the sky. He zipped eastward as a streak of light. Storms, Kaladin said, then breathed out the last of his light and collapsed in a heap. When he regained consciousness, Syl stood beside him on the rocky ground, hands on her hips.
Sleeping when you're supposed to be on guard duty?
Kaladin groaned and sat up. He felt horribly weak, but he was alive. Good enough. He held up his hand, but couldn't see much in the darkness now that his stormlight had faded. He could move his fingers. His entire hand and forearm ached, but it was the most wonderful ache he'd ever felt.
I healed,
he whispered, then coughed.
I healed from a shardblade wound. Why didn't you tell me I could do that?
Because I didn't know you could do it until you did it, silly.
She said it as if it were the most obvious fact in the world. Her voice grew softer.
There are dead up above.
Kaladin nodded. Could he walk? He managed to get to his feet and slowly made his way around the base of the pinnacle toward the steps on the other side. Syl flitted around him anxiously. His strength began to return a little as he found the steps and began to climb. He had to stop several times to catch his breath, and at one point he ripped off the sleeve of his coat to hide that it had been cut with a shard blade. He reached the top. Part of him feared that he'd find everyone dead. The hallways were silent. No shouts, no guards, nothing. He continued on, feeling alone, until he saw light ahead.
Stop! Called a trembling voice.
Mart, of Bridge 4.
You in the dark! Identify yourself!
Kaladin continued forward into the light, too exhausted to reply. Mart and Moash stood guard at the door to the king's chambers, along with some of the men from the king's guard. They let out whoops of surprise as they recognized Kaladin. They ushered him into the warmth and light of Elokar's quarters. Here he found Dalinar and Adolin, alive, sitting on the couches. Eth tended their wounds. Kaladin had trained a number of the men in Bridge 4 in basic field medicine. Renarin slumped in a chair near the corner, his shard blade discarded at his feet like a piece of refuse. The king paced at the back of the room, speaking softly with his mother. Dalinar stood up, shaking off Eth's attention as Kaladin entered.
By the Almighty's tenth name, Dalinar said, voice hushed. You're alive?
Kaladin nodded, then slumped down in one of the plush royal chairs, uncaring if he got water or blood on it. He let out a soft groan, half relief at seeing them all well, half exhaustion.
How? Adolin demanded. You fell. I was barely awake, but I know I saw you fall.
I am a surge binder, Kaladin thought as Dalinar looked over at him. I used stormlight.
He wanted to say the words, but they wouldn't come out. Not in front of Elokar and Adolin.
Storms. I'm a coward.
I had a good grip on him, Kaladin said. I don't know. We tumbled in the air, and when we hit, I wasn't dead.
The king nodded.
Didn't you say he stuck you to the ceiling? He said to Adolin. They probably floated all the way down.
Yeah, Adolin said. I suppose.
After you landed, the king said hopefully, did you kill him?
No, Kaladin said. He ran off, though.
I think he was surprised we fought back as capably as we did.
Capably?
Adolin asked.
We were like three children attacking a chasm fiend with sticks.
Stormfather, I've never been routed so soundly in my life.
At least we were alerted, the king said, sounding shaken. This bridge man, he makes a good bodyguard. You'll be commended, young man.
Dalinar stood and crossed the room. Eth had cleaned up his face and plugged his bleeding nose. His skin was split along the left cheekbone, his nose broken, though surely not for the first time in Dalinar's long military career. Both were wounds that looked worse than they really were.
How did you know?
Dalinar asked. Kaladin met his eyes. Behind him, Adolin glanced over, narrowing his eyes. He looked down at Kaladin's arm and frowned.
That one saw something,
Kaladin thought, as if he didn't have enough trouble with Adolin as it was.
I saw a light moving in the air outside, Kaladin said. I moved by instinct.
Nearby, Syl zipped into the room and looked pointedly at him, frowning. But it wasn't a lie. He had seen a light in the night. Hers.
All those years ago, Dalinar said, I dismissed the stories the witnesses told of my brother's assassination. Men walking on walls, others falling up instead of down. Almighty above, what is he?
Death, Kaladin whispered. Dalinar nodded.
Why has he come back now?
Navani asked, moving up to Dalinar's side.
After all these years.
He wants to claim me,
Elokar said. His back was to them, and Kaladin could make out a cup in his hand. He downed the contents, then immediately refilled it from a jug. Deep, violet wine. Elokar's hand was trembling as he poured. Kaladin met Dalinar's eyes. The High Prince had heard. This Zeth had not come for the king, but Dalinar. Dalinar didn't say anything to correct the king, so Kaladin didn't either.
What do we do if he comes back? Adolin asked.
I don't know, Dalinar said, sitting back down on the couch beside his son. I don't know.
Tend his wounds.
It was the voice of Kaladin's father whispering inside him. The surgeon.
Stitch that cheek. Reset the nose.
He had a more important duty. Kaladin forced himself to his feet, though he felt like he was carrying lead weights, and took a spear from one of the men at the door.
Why are the hallways silent?
He asked Moash.
Do you know where the servants are?
The High Prince,
Moash said, nodding to Dalinar.
Bright Lord Dalinar sent a couple of men to the servants' quarters to move everyone out. He thought that if the assassin came back, he might start killing indiscriminately. Figured the more people who left the palace, the fewer casualties there would be.
Kaladin nodded, taking a sphere lamp and moving out into the hallway.
Hold here. I need to do something.
Adolin slumped in his seat as the bridge boy left. Kaladin gave no explanation, of course, and didn't ask the king for permission to withdraw. Storming Man seemed to consider himself above Light Eyes. No, the Storming Man seemed to consider himself above the king.
He did fight alongside you,
part of him said. How many men, light-eyed or dark, would stand so firm against a shard-bearer? Troubled, Adolin stared up at the ceiling. He couldn't have seen what he thought he had. He'd been dazed from his fall from the ceiling. Surely the assassin hadn't actually cut Kaladin through the arm with his shard blade. The arm seemed perfectly fine now, after all. But why was the sleeve missing?
He fell with the assassin, Adolin thought.
He fought, and looked like he was wounded, but it turns out he wasn't. Could this all be part of some ruse? Stop it, Adolin thought at himself. You'll get as paranoid as Elokar. He glanced at the king, who was staring, face pale, at his empty wine cup. Had he really gone through everything in the pitcher? Elokar walked toward his bedroom, where there would be more waiting for him, and pulled open the door. Navani gasped, causing the king to freeze in place. He turned toward the door. The backside of the wood had been scratched with a knife, jagged lines forming a series of glyphs. Adolin stood up. Several of those were numbers, weren't they?
38 days, Renarin read. The end of all nations.
Kaladin moved tiredly through the palace hallways, retracing the route he'd led them along only a short time before. Down toward the kitchens, into the hallway with the hole cut out into the air. Past the place where Dalinar's blood spotted the floor, to the intersection, where Beld's corpse lay. Kaladin knelt down, rolling the body over. The eyes were burned out. Above those dead eyes remained the tattoos of freedom that Kaladin had designed. Kaladin closed his own eyes.
I failed you, he thought.
The balding, square-faced man had survived Bridge Four and the rescue of Dalinar's armies. He'd survived damnation itself, only to fall here to an assassin with powers he should not have. Kaladin groaned.
He died protecting.
Syl's voice.
I should be able to keep them alive, Kaladin said. Why didn't I just let them go free? Why did I bring them to this duty and more death? Someone has to fight. Someone has to protect. They've done enough. They've bled their share. I should banish them all. Dalinar can find different bodyguards. They made the choice, Syl said. You can't take that from them.
Kaladin knelt, struggling with his grief.
You have to learn when to care, son, his father's voice, and when to let go. You'll grow calluses.
He never had. Storm him, he never had. It was why he'd never made a good surgeon. He couldn't lose patience. And now? Now he killed? Now he was a soldier? How did that make any sense? He hated how good he was at killing. He took a deep breath, regaining control with effort.
He can do things I can't, he finally said, opening his eyes and looking toward Syl, who stood in the air near him. The assassin. Is it because I have more words to speak? There are more, Syl said. You're not ready for them yet, I don't think. Regardless, I think you could already do what he does, with practice.
But how is he surge-binding? You said the assassin had no spren.
No honor spren would give that creature the means to slaughter as he does.
Perspectives can be different among humans, Kaladin said, trying to keep the emotion from his voice as he turned Beld face down so he wouldn't have to see those shriveled, burned-out eyes. What if the honor spren thought this assassin was doing the right thing? You gave me the means to slaughter Parshendi.
To protect.
In their eyes, the Parshendi are protecting their kind, Kaladin said. To them, I'm the aggressor. Syl sat down, wrapping her arms around her knees.
I don't know. Maybe. But no other honor spren are doing what I do. I am the only one who disobeyed. But his shard blade.
What of it? Kaladin asked.
It was different. Very different.
It looked ordinary to me. Well, as ordinary as a shard blade can.
It was different, she repeated. I feel I should know why. Something about the amount of light he was consuming.
Kaladin rose, then walked down the side corridor, holding up his lamp. It bore sapphires, turning the walls blue. The assassin had cut that hole with his blade, entered the corridor, and killed Beld. But Kaladin had sent two men on ahead. Yes, another body. Haber, one of the first men Kaladin had saved in Bridge Four. Storms take that assassin. Kaladin remembered saving this man after he had been left by everyone else to die in the plateau. Kaladin knelt beside the corpse, rolled it over. And found it weeping.
I'm sorry,
Haber said, overcome with emotion and barely able to speak.
I'm sorry, Kaladin.
Haber, Kaladin said.
You're alive.
Then he noticed that the legs of Hobber's uniform had been sliced through at mid-thigh. Beneath the fabric, Hobber's legs were darkened and gray, dead as Kaladin's arm had been.
"I didn't even see him,"
Hobber said.
"He cut me down and stabbed Beld straight through. I listened to you fighting. I thought you'd all died."
"It's all right," Kaladin said. "You're all right."
"I can't feel my legs,"
Hobber said.
"They're gone. I'm no soldier anymore, sir. I'm useless now. I—"
"No," Kaladin said firmly. "You're still Bridge Four. You're always Bridge Four." He forced himself to smile. "We'll just have Rock teach you how to cook. How are you with stew?"
"Awful, sir,"
Hobber said.
"I can burn broth."
"Then you'll fit right in with most military cooks. Come on, let's get you back to the others." Kaladin strained, getting his arms under Hobber, trying to lift him. His body would have none of it. He let out an involuntary groan, putting Hobber back down.
"It's all right, sir,"
Hobber said. "No," Kaladin said, sucking in the light of one of the spheres in the lamp. "It's not." He heaved again, lifting Hobber, then carried him back toward the others.